What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Productivity Lovers Podcast, the podcast about how to become more productive in your work and home environment. The Productivity Lovers Podcast is brought to you by Chris Scrott, a certified professional organizer, and Devly, a digital productivity coach. Buckle up and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our episode 11.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey. We're still here. Episode 11.
Woo-hoo! I know. We always do like a little happy dance when we realize that we're still doing it, right?
Yeah. Somebody just told me that the average podcast only has about 7 recordings. So we have gone beyond average.
Yes, that's awesome. We have more than 7. We have 11. Today's number 11.
I know. I'm excited. So that's how are you?
I'm doing really well. I am actually in a really happy, happy mood today. Mm-hmm. It's not that things are perfect, but I'm happy. The weather is great. I've already gotten 16,000 steps.
Nice.
Since the start of the day. I am thrilled that my leak has been fixed.
Oh, yay.
Yay for fixing the leak. So
how's the kitchen coming along?
Well, you know, it had to be a little bit of a pause because the kitchen was involved with part of this leak. But as far as I'm concerned, it's coming along just fine. Right. I mean, we're making progress. We're moving forward. Some countertops were installed. Some more countertops are coming. I'm good.
That's exciting.
I have chosen to focus on what is working and not on what isn't. So, and it's working today.
That's good. I love that. I love that's working today.
It's working today. I'll take it. How about you?
Go for it. I'm doing okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It seems like, you know, the calm before the storm.
Okay, well, enjoy that calm.
I am totally enjoying it.
Enjoy that calm.
I'm at the house completely by myself today. So
nice. That's
feels like
probably a rare occurrence these days.
It is, yeah. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, kids are going to go to back to school sooner than later, which feels weird. What,
end of August-ish?
Yes.
Beginning of September.
Summer is flying right along. So
I do feel like the summer has been flying along.
Yeah.
It's been busy and filled. And obviously, we've been spending a lot of time together talking about all kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Today, we are talking about that Netflix program called The Home Edit. Last time we talked about Marie Kondo's show on Netflix. And so I'm curious to hear your perspective, of course, on these two shows and what you think, because they're kind of different, both on Netflix, of course, but still different in how they tackle organizing and storage.
Mm.
Right? So really interesting.
Yeah, you know, I think if I had a dollar for every time somebody asked me, like, have you seen the Netflix show with the home edit? I probably would have enough money to buy a really nice pair of shoes.
Okay. Okay.
I think last time what spurred our conversation about Marie Kondo was just this, and we talked about the episode before, we talked about rules. I feel rules are coming up for me a lot, especially with my clients. Do I follow this rule? Do I follow that rule? What is the rule I should be following here? And so, you know, I have to say that I do appreciate the home edit and I do appreciate their level of extreme neatness. I want to live in the world. That is the truth. I'm not going to hide it. I'm not going to have any shame about it. I love the clear containers inside of the clear containers that have more clear containers. That is the world my ideal self wants to live in.
Your ideal self. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think we all have an ideal self inside of us.
I agree.
You know, Tamara Host says that all the time to me. She's like, I dress for my ideal self.
I love it.
I pack for my ideal self, but then I have to dress myself when I'm at places. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. You know, we all have our ideal selves that would like that level of detail in our lives. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that the maintenance is so ridiculous.
I think we forget about that part.
Yeah.
I think we forget about the steps it takes. I think we're willing to trudge through to get the ideal, and then we forget that it has to be sustained. And I think sometimes it also helps to think about the reason why we're doing what we're doing. So partly it's, you love how it looks, you love the containers, it's just sort of an aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And then partly is, I think to an extent, it also impacts your productivity.
Yeah, right?
An organized environment, having an organized space, you can find what you're looking for without going on a scavenger hunt.
Yep.
You know, it's right at your fingertips. Your tax person says, you need to hand me these documents, and you can rifle through a file and grab them and say, oh, I have them. And then it looks beautiful. So you have form and function together, but life happens. Mm. You still have to work. You have to clear your desk. I've got papers on my desk. I'm looking at it right now. And I'm like, eh. So it still has to be maintained. So I think it's important to have this conversation, because sometimes these shows, I don't know, sometimes I think they give us one glimpse, one side of the organizing or productivity project, but not the full picture, the full picture that involves kids and schedules and bosses and meetings and demands and things that need to be attended to. So,
I think sometimes people underestimate how much time maintenance really take, right?
Yes.
So I am doing a podcast with Jeff Copper in a couple of weeks, and we're going to talk about like deconstructing people's systems because of the level of maintenance. So I think it's like, it feels like it's all around me lately. It's like, who wants to spend that much time like maintaining these things? And the truth is that like no one. The other day I found myself organizing snacks. I was like,
that sounds like fun though. I think I'd be eating while I'm organizing.
I was like, nobody here. And like, they had dumped all of the different snacks together in the same bin. And then I was looking at it and I was like, nobody finds anything in this bin. Like they were only eating the snacks from the top. So I organized them neatly and I put them up. And now I noticed that the snacks are getting taken from different parts of the bin. Right.
Yeah.
But I was in my head, I'm also conscious that it's like, one, I did that one time.
Right.
Two, nobody's going to maintain it the next time a new set of snacks comes in there. Get dumped in. And three, like, it was easy. It literally took me less than 2 minutes to do it. And I was okay doing it. But like, whenever I'm doing something, I'm always conscious of like, what is the level of maintenance this is going to take for me, especially when I'm doing it for myself. But when I'm working with my clients, I'm also thinking like, what is their lifestyle, right? Is it reasonable that this is going to take a certain amount of time? And not that long ago, actually the entire beginning, like spring and summer, I worked for this family and they were extreme. Like they wanted the home adage, home and feel.
Oh.
And I was like, I'll give it to you.
So pretty. They really wanted that beautification.
It was pretty.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I spend a couple of $1,000 worth of containers just in their pantry alone.
Okay. Container store.
Yes. Yep. And home edit little canisters.
Okay.
They wanted everything to be clear in containers. They didn't want any store packaging. And it took three of us 2.5 days to make it happen. And in my head, I am like, and I did ask my client that too. I was just like, this is going to be a lot for you? And she's like, it's okay. She was like embracing it. I was like, you're literally going to have to own your own label maker.
Pretty much. Like, I mean,
I'm okay with that.
If you need your own label maker, that's a level of maintenance that is highly involved. You know, it's not like, I like those little chalkboard labels where you can use a chalk pen or actual real chalk and just write something on and then you scribble it and you go.
Yeah.
I do love label makers too, but I know I'm not going to be able to keep up with that. And if I lived by myself, I probably could get maybe 90% there.
No.
But I live in a home with other people. That's never going to happen.
No, because sometimes I think about like, I hope this is not too personal, right? But like, I think about like my underwear drawer. Like, I can't remember the last time I folded them. I just throw them in there. And sometimes I jumble up the top back, you know, the bottom back to the top. So I get a
so that you can fresh. Cycle through.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, here's something I haven't seen in a while. I get so excited about it.
You're going shopping in your own drawer. I love it.
I mean, no judgment against the people that choose to fold their underwear, right? I appreciate and admire you. Like, you inspire me, but like the maintenance that takes is totally not worth it to me. So I'm okay with like jumbling it all up in a drawer. There are no divisions in there. It's all mixed in.
It's all mixed in together.
I mean,
yeah, it's interesting to bring that up because when I watched that episode with Jordana Brewster,
That was the refrigerator one.
Wait, refrigerator and pantry.
Yes.
So one of the things that she said, and I actually wrote this down, which was she wants it to be beautiful and pretty. Mm-hmm. I want pretty, I want organized, and I want maintainable. And I thought, you can probably get two of those things.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're going to get the third thing. They certainly gave her pretty and they absolutely gave her organized. Now, they didn't throw anything away because they didn't have to, because it looks like maybe Jordana has some organizing skills of her own. And so she didn't have anything that was expired. She uses everything that's in her space. Although she was climbing the pantry shelves to reach a top shelf, like literally climbing.
Thing about the kids' snacks she didn't want them to get to was like really hard.
Right. Yeah. Which I think is a great idea. Move it away from their eye level. Perfect mm-hmm. thinking. But climbing the shelves, that was an interesting way of getting those things. So do we choose pretty and organized knowing that it's going to fall apart? Or like, I'm not sure because I don't know if she can really maintain all of what they did for her.
Well, honestly, no offense to Jordana or the Home Edit, but I think those things are super hard to maintain. And it's not uncommon, right, that then people call us to be like, oh, you gave us this really pretty system and it's unrealistic to maintain it. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, I kind of told you that when I gave it to you. But I'm like, I'm okay coming here and maintaining it for you, right? If that's your gig, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
So...
you know, are you willing to spend the money
mm-hmm.
to let someone else free up your time? I read an article about that recently where you can buy some time.
Yes.
So they hire organizing maniacs to come in and, you know, declutter, organize, pretty it up. And then they go along for 2 or 3 weeks and they say, okay, organizing maniacs, come back in and help me just fine tune.
Well, it's the whole idea of like, you know, the whole idea of buying your time back is also like, cleaning, right? There's a substantial amount of people that pay somebody to come and clean their homes. And at least in the area we live in, Washington, D.C., right? It's like
it's not unusual to have an organizer and a housekeeper or house cleaner.
Right. So, yeah. We, you know, our clients have resources and they're willing to buy back their time, right? And they want pretty and they want detailed and they don't want to maintain us. So it's a combination that works.
It's a trade-off, I suppose, right? So either you spend your time or you spend your money, right?
Yes. Well, isn't that like, that could be a metaphor for time management, I think, sometimes.
Sure. You can either spend the time to help someone, get someone to help you figure out what the issues are, put in a plan in place so you can find what you need when you need it, right? Or you can struggle along on your own and do it on your own and take longer.
Yeah.
You know, when you talked about working with that family, you were there with two other people, did it across 3 days. Mm-hmm. So full working day, eight times three, right? You're knocking it out. What would they have done? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
On their own without your level of expertise and then manpower. That's for woman power, right? That's the other thing. So thinking about the space and maintaining it, starting the maintenance, starting the organization, but then the back end is, you know, keeping it going and sustaining it. How much time do you really, really have? And I think the Home Edit presented this really beautiful and pretty picture. Just, I'm curious to see what happens in like 3 months.
Yeah.
Jordana had 2 kids, I think.
I don't remember, but I wonder what happens when she gets like the next box of ice cream.
I used to tell clients back when I organized that they needed to leave room. Mm-hmm. So don't fill up every shelf with every corner and every space occupied. Mm-hmm. Leave space for incoming things as well. But that was a hard concept because when you see a flat surface, you want to fill it. You want to put something in there. You want to take care of that. So
I tell people, my mom says there is no such a thing as an empty drawer, but I think actually I came up with that.
I gave my mom. Sorry, mom.
Sorry, mom. Taking it back, right? But I think it's the same thing with surfaces or with time, right? I feel like, do you ever just say like, I'm going to leave the space for like nothing. And then this gets consumed.
But we should look at your calendar. If your calendar, so from a purely productivity standpoint, you look at your calendar and you fill it to the brim with meetings, top to bottom, morning to evening. There's nothing in there. So if something unexpected comes up, if there is an emergency, if there's just a moment where you just need to say, I don't know, breathe because it's been a tough day or tough half of the day, there is no time built in for that.
Do you build in time on your schedule?
I do. I have on my calendar, it says break. I just put break, like get up and break, like go.
So what is that? What does that look like for you? Like every couple of hours you have like a short break?
Depending on the day, I position them in certain parts of the day. I have most energy in the morning. So the break usually happens towards the afternoon.
Okay.
And if I have a client call, at the end of the client call, I must have a break of some kind, whether it's to refresh myself or to prepare for the next thing, whatever that might be. I do put it in. And then I use a tool like Calendly, which I say to Calendly, my scheduler, I say, okay, every time you schedule something for me, make sure that you pad it with 15 minutes on the front and 15 minutes on the end. So whenever you're scheduling the next thing, you have to account for those 15 minutes. So it's built in for me. So I have to take breaks. And movement is my way of breaking or moving away from the work that I'm doing. When I'm feeling a little overwhelmed or things are not making sense or it's taking too long for me to advance whatever it is I'm working on, I get up and I leave it. I take break. So I know I need them 100%. So just like your pantry needs a little bit of room for things coming in, so does your calendar need a little bit of room for things that are coming in.
And so does your drawer. Like, don't have every drawer full. Yes. Like, I know that I just said there is no such a thing as an empty drawer, but it's okay to have empty space in your life. I think like my lesson from the home edit, once again, I love their bins.
I love
the minute organization. I mean, I love the clear feel that you can actually see stuff.
Well, you can look at it without having to open it. So you know exactly what's in there. And they also, which I love, they, for the cereal or some of the snacks, they cut out the nutrition facts and then put it on the back of the container. And then on the front, they put the picture of the item, what's inside the container for the kids to see, which I thought was really clever and interesting and I think manageable. You just have to make sure that what's on the front actually is filled, like you put in that thing, right?
That's the problem.
Me didn't. Well, I am the person that will empty out the cereal box and put it in a clear container. I have these really cute OXO cereal containers. And when I am the person, when we used to eat cereal back before this renovation, when I'm the person filling the containers, everything goes in the right container. When I am not the person filling the containers, not so much.
Yeah. Because the people in your house don't care.
They do not. Like, you know what they care about?
Box is just fine.
They care about having cereal. And you know what question I received? Why do we have to empty it out into a container anyway? That's the question I received.
Was that the little person in your life?
No, that was the adult person in my life.
That's funny.
So I agree with you. I love a clear container.
I think my only downside to that level of, you know, extreme organization is just really maintenance. Yeah. And for me, it's because maintenance takes time. And once again, you know, we all know that my underwear drawer is just one jumbled up pile because I don't want to maintain it. Like there are other things I much rather be doing.
Because you could then use that time doing something else.
Folding underwear is not one of them.
That's not. You know, I like to fold during times when I'm just kind of winding down.
Yeah.
Folding is just one of those, anything, not just underwear. I'll fold towels. I'll fold anything that you put in front of me as sort of a cathartic activity.
Okay.
It doesn't require a lot of brain power. it has a process, a beginning and an end. Mm-hmm. And they're, I like seeing when they're nice and neat mm-hmm. and in a row, like that makes my heart and my brain very happy. So it's a very cathartic thing.
Yeah, I can see that about you.
So I enjoy folding. I don't fold every single thing. And when I don't want to fold, I use a hanger.
So do you fold like when you're watching TV or when you're on hold with some phone call? Like when?
So usually I'm doing a back and forth. I'm doing a couple of things, right? I'm usually not sitting down watching TV. I don't do a lot of TV watching anymore. It's just, I don't have enough time. And I, quite frankly, I don't make the time for TV. I make time for audiobooks and I make time for walking. So if I'm going to fold, I fold and I move. So I fold, I'm usually standing. I fold a certain batch and then I take it someplace else because my goal is also to get my steps.
Oh, okay.
Right. So I'm doing good multitasking.
This is classic pairing, people.
I am totally pairing. So I'm standing upright and I am folding on usually on the bed. And then after about 5 minutes of folding, I look at what I have and I say, okay, it's time to move. I need to move. I can't just stand here. And I trudge along, I put things away and I come back and I restart that process.
Nice.
And it's a great way to just kind of like let go of the day mm-hmm. and I'm getting something done. I feel accomplished at the end and I'm increasing my step count, which obviously, as you know, is important to me. So
I think my lesson for what you just said is not everything is about productivity. Sometimes it's just about soothing your brain and it's like a form of meditation for you.
It is. But it also leads to future productivity. I firmly believe that. So it's connected. It's just not in that moment. Maybe not as what you might picture as being productive, mm-hmm. but there's so much that goes into what one gets done mm-hmm. in a certain day. Mindset is one of them. If you wake up on the wrong side of the bed because you slept poorly, it kind of sets the tone for the day. But if you do some stretching, maybe do a little bit of yoga or do some meditation, you're now turning the mindset, you're turning the dial forward versus looking at what the pain is like from, right? So it's just, everybody has that formula that works for them. Unfortunately, you might need a different formula depending on what the day brings you.
Right.
Every day serves up something different. So yeah, I mean, we all have to kind of find what those things are. It helps to have a bag of tricks, right? To know what you can reach in and pull and say, you know what? I used this last time or I did this last time and it really helped me to do X mm-hmm. or it really helped calm me down. You know, today I tried a different kind of meditation. I tried one with eating. It was an eating meditation. I'd never done one of those before. Mm. It was interesting to savor the food, chew slowly. If you think, you know, if I was sitting in front of the TV, I'd be like mm-hmm. munching or working and eating at the same time, which I don't recommend. So try new things, but come up with a few tactics, a few strategies, a few tools that you can use, you know, on a given day. I've been on the planet a while. I've lived a few, go around the sun or the sun goes around. How does that work? You've been around the revolutions around the sun a few years. So I've learned a lot about myself. And I think it takes some trial and error. So it can't be fancy and pretty like the home edit all the time, but you can certainly try.
I wonder if their house is like that detail because they both have children too. So I'd be curious to see inside of their homes.
Well, it's just like everybody probably thinks your house looks spick and span. And no,
they would be surprised to know that my underwear is all jumbled up.
I totally get it. Totally get it. Right. It was a really interesting episode. So I highly recommend that you guys out there listening, take a look at that episode with Jordana Brewster and her pantry and her refrigerator. Refrigerator, by the way.
I recommend the whole series. It was entertaining. They did some really good organizing, some good stories there about the celebrities that were organizing. So that was kind of fun.
And they also, in that episode with her, they did a youth center. So they don't just work with celebrities and well-known people and personalities. They work with, you know, the average everyday Jane and Joe.
I think that's how they got started. And they're also spreading the love of organizing to community. So that's pretty cool.
I do love that. They are definitely different than Marie Kondo and her approach. One is more sort of paring down and weeding out what doesn't spark joy or bring value to your life in some interesting ways. And they're like, okay, we have the space. We're not getting rid of anything. Everything is perfect right now. We're just going to contain it all.
Yeah.
We're just going to contain it with these beautiful, they bring a lot of that form with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just two different approaches. Just very interesting.
Yeah, great way to summarize it. Marie Kondo is definitely more like a minimalist.
Yes, yes. And sort of reaching inside a little bit, like into your heart and your brain, your spirit, your soul. I felt like she was just like trying to tease out, like, you know, do you really love this thing?
Yeah.
In her own way. Some of it is a little quirky to me because it's not the way I would normally approach things. But the home edit people were very bubbly. Marie was very calm, very zen. And home edit girls are like flying all over the place, happy. Yeah. You know, it's just interesting to see the difference between the two methods of organizing. And
yeah. Marie Kondo definitely more of a minimalist.
Yeah.
Home edit's more like an organizationalist. I'm going to coin that word because there's such a thing. There's some people that are more organizationalist. Marie Kondo also said in one of her books that cleaning is man confronting nature and organizing is man confronting himself.
Really?
I think she really meant women, but, you know, translation there.
Okay.
And I totally get it because I feel like when you are organizing, you're totally, and she is all about that message, right? Does it spark joy? How does it feel to you to have this thing
into that
home in your life? So how are you confronting yourself with all the stuff that you have? And, you know, I think all about, like, a lot about Marie Kondo is about maintenance. Like, the more stuff you have, the longer it takes to maintain. Therefore, you should have less to maintain less, which is a strategy that a lot of my clients that have ADHD use.
Okay.
They don't have as much stuff, there's less to manage and they spend less time spinny looking for things. So,
well, it's sort of a more of a lifestyle change then.
Yes.
Right. Not a sort of in the moment change. It's a, when I do this, then that happens. And then this happens. And then ultimately my brain doesn't feel as overwhelmed.
Yeah, for sure.
And then I can maybe get some things done in a peaceful, easeful way. So, you know, as you travel, these are like building blocks, you know, we're creating a foundation for something that they really can sustain. And honestly, the less you have, the less you have to maintain.
For sure.
But if you have the space and maybe some help with maintaining, right? Nothing wrong with that either, I think.
My friend Jennifer Madison says, just because you're hoarding Prada doesn't mean you're not hoarding. Like, well, that's the point there. I mean,
certainly not speaking about folks who are actually truly dealing with a hoarding issue or tendencies, but we know we collect things through life.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes those things are really amazing, like books. Books are the gateway to whole new worlds, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's shoes, you know, sparkly shoes make girls or people who like to wear shoes. And sparkly shoes happy. So it's when our collections start to take over our life and our space and maybe safety becomes an issue that we perhaps look at it a little differently. But sometimes when we invite things into our lives, we're not always thinking, oh, where am I going to put this? How is this going to serve me in the future? Will I really use it again? I don't think we go through that kind of conversation.
No, and that's the thing I love about Marie Kondo. She really makes you ask those questions.
You're thinking.
And my friend Jennifer wasn't really talking true hoarding, right? She was talking about abundance of
abundance of
nice things in a nice home.
Yes.
Right. Which I don't think she was in any way disparaging.
Oh no. No.
People with hoarding tendencies, which is a mental disorder and is a mental illness. And you know, there's a whole other conversation we could have.
Yes, it does present a lot of challenges, but yes, you're right. That's a whole nother episode, perhaps.
Yeah. All right. Well, we went way off here with, like, we started with the home edit where everything was really pretty and always went down like holding situation. So anything else you want to share about the home edit?
I really love the energy. I think when people are watching shows like The Home Edit or Marie Kondo show, I think people should use it for inspiration and take the things that they could do. reasonably do. And just enjoy it for what it is. It's not the end all or be all. You know, you don't have to buy their specific containers, but you could find a clear container somewhere.
Yeah.
For something. I mean, you don't want to have to open it to see what's in it. So really just enjoy the programming and then be inspired by some things that you might be able to do on your own.
Yeah. My takeaway is always, and I feel like I'm beating the dead horse here. It's all about maintenance, you know, whenever, and I think, you know, I've been organizing people for a living for the last 14 years. So I think it's like part of my DNA now. When people ask me for something, when I'm doing something, I'm always thinking like, what is the maintenance of this thing looks like? Yeah. And is it realistic for people? So because time is of the essence and it is, you know, it is our most precious commodity.
Keep it to 3 steps or less.
Oh yeah. I love that. 3 steps. Yeah.
We probably, I don't know if we talked about that in our rules episode, but if it's more than 3 steps, beware.
We did talk about it in our rules episode. Yeah.
Did we? Yeah. So 3 steps, I think likely to be manageable when I'm choosing, you know, tasks for my to-do list. I pick my top three. 3 is a big number for me. Mm-hmm. It's also 1/2 of 6, which is my favorite number. I have no idea why I have a favorite number, but there you go.
There's a psychology, once again, a whole other conversation about the 3 numbers of 3s, which is why phone numbers are kind of like 3, 3s, and 4, because the human brain capacity is a lot better for 3s.
I like it.
We'll have to find the research on this maybe for a different episode. But all right, well, we hope you enjoyed our conversation on the home edit. If you watch the show and you have your own thoughts about it in regards to productivity or minimalist or organizationalist, check us out. We are on all social medias.
Yeah. And find us
correct. That kind of correct terminology, social medias.
I think they know what you mean. You can also find us on productivitylovers.com. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Productivity Lovers podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to subscribe so that you get notified when we upload a new productivity podcast. For more tips and notes from the show, check us out at productivitylovers.com. Talk to you soon.